Yeah, let's talk about the upcoming A-League men's season. And safe to say there are two clubs for whom failure simply will not be tolerated this season. One is Melbourne Victory after their first ever wooden spoon. The other is Western Sydney Wanderers, who've now failed to make the finals for the last four campaigns. Let's talk now to their head coach, Carl Robinson. Evening, Carl. How are you?
Yeah, good evening, Simon. How are you?
Very good, thanks. Broski's here as well. Without wishing to sound unkind, is it probably fair to say that if that run is extended to five seasons, we probably won't be talking to you this time next season?
Well, maybe I can do what a lot of people do is join the media side of it. I live in hope.
I'm sure you'd be very good at it too, Carl, but I'm equally sure that you want to have a good season with the Wanderers. Let's talk about the on-field stuff, and in particular your work in the transfer market. You made a whole raft of new signings. We'll go into detail on one or two of those in a moment. But first of all, I want to ask you what the latest is with Jack Rodwell. Have you agreed terms? Is he going to come on board with the Red and Black?
Well, it's a question I've got asked a lot in the last two weeks. And, you know, I'm actually finding out information by reading it from people that are putting it out there. So, there was a conversation about 3 months ago with Jack. Jack was in England at the time, and he had mentioned to me that he was coming over. I'd spoke to Jack. I kept in contact with Jack. He's coming in to see us. We're seeing him, and we'll see where it goes. It's as simple as that.
Is he a player that you know well, Carl, from your time in the UK?
I don't know him too well, but I know a lot of people who have worked with him, and I know a lot of people that speak very highly of him. Obviously, you know, with all footballers in the UK, they come with certain opinions or backgrounds from them because you're in the public domain 24 hours a day. Some are kind, some are unkind and things like that. But the people I spoke to that I value their opinion, that have worked with him, that have, you know, coached him, speak very, very highly of him.
Fair enough. I mean, we'll get on to the guys you have signed then. Rhys Williams, Tom Ahmed, Dimi Petratos and Terry Antonis. You've gone from a lot of players who have a lot of experience in the A-League. And when we spoke to you last year, one of the issues that you said you had with the squad, and it was definitely noticeable watching the boys play, was the leadership from your senior players. Bringing in guys like Rhys Williams, Tom Ahmed, what have you noticed about the experience and leadership that they've brought already?
Well, exactly that, Broski. Exactly what you said. A little bit of leadership. Leadership comes in all certain forms. You know, you don't find out who your leaders are when you're winning games, you know, because it's, you know, you go with the flow. Everyone's happy. Everyone's content. You ride the wave. It's when you go through a little bit of adversity, a few difficulties, a few inconsistent results, bad results, you know, a defeat here or a heavy defeat there. And you find out who's willing to step up, who's able to give their opinion in the proper way. So there's different types of leaders. You know, last year I felt we had good leaders in a certain way, but the locker room is run by the players. You know, the manager has control of it, but it's, you know, it's the players' sanctuary, really. You know, I don't like spending too much time in there other than when I need to get messages across. They need to run that locker room. And, you know, it became a story last year, and it was great because, you know, I think people who know me know whatever I say publicly is said to my players as well. And I've said that before the game. I think it was Brisbane at home we played. I need my players to step up. I need more leadership from them. And obviously I said it to the guys prior to the game. And obviously it's saying that Robinson questions the leadership, which it wasn't the case. It was a headline. It was a total wrong headline for the story. I needed more players to step up because we didn't want to miss the playoffs again, which we did.
Carl, one pundit said last season, and I've called him a pundit because I genuinely cannot remember who it was. It might even have been you, Broski, but whoever it was said the Wanderer shirt was a heavy jersey to wear. Do you sense that? Because of it's such a passionate football area, because, you know, you've got everything going for you, that the jersey is heavy to wear. Is that a fair comment or not?
Well, it doesn't surprise me come from Broski. He's trying to put added pressure on the team, surely.
Actually, to be fair, I don't think it was Broski, but anyway.
No, that's fine. But let's just say it is him, okay? I'd laugh at it anyway. Now, listen, I think that's fair. I think if you want to, listen, Sydney, Western Sydney, Melbourne Victory, Melbourne City, if you want to play at big clubs and you want to play for big clubs, manage big clubs, there is an expectation. And if you're scared of it or worried about it or are unable to perform during it, then get out of it. Get out of it. You know, move on. It's as simple as that. All the players that play at the smaller clubs throughout the world want to play at the bigger clubs. So when you get to play at a big club, you have to embrace it. You have to enjoy it. You have to show why you are a big club. So is it heavy? Yeah, possibly it is. But it's a heavy jersey that if you can perform, and that's why you need good people, you need good characters, you need good leaders. And if you're able to perform then and ride that wave, you know, the sky's the limit. It really is.
Yeah, I agree. Look, I don't think the Wanderers jersey is any heavier than the clubs that you mentioned. You know, Sydney, Melbourne City, Melbourne Victory. It's part and parcel of playing at a big club. So, mate, what about Kwame Yeboah, who retired to take up modelling? Tell us a bit about that. Did you try and talk him out of it?
Yeah, do you know what? It's like there's loads of stories coming out recently with all sorts of players, and it's brilliant. But the one with Kwame, did it surprise me? No, it didn't. You know, I'd had numerous conversations with him last year, and, you know, Kwame's a good-looking boy. You know, he's not afraid to say it himself. You know, he was always modelling in the locker room. And, you know, one of the questions I had with Kwame last year is, and it's hard as a manager, you try and tap into players' minds, all right? And I try and teach them things because I'm the manager, and I've got to manage them. I've got kids that... my own kids that are older than players in my locker room that I have. So I've got to actually be their teacher, their coach, their leader, but I've also got to try and be their friend as well, because, you know, you've got to get the best out of people. And, you know, my one thing that I always go back to is you've got to love football. You've got to want to do it. You've got to enjoy it. And you've got to love doing what you know, you're paid to do. It's a privilege. You're paid to be a player. And if you don't love it, then I don't think you will be in the game for as long as you possibly can. And that was my one question with Kwame, a talented boy, super talented boy, had gone to Germany and come back or whatever. But, you know, I questioned it. I asked him, did you really love the game? And he liked it, but I don't think he loved it. And I think, obviously, clearly now he wanted to go in a different direction, which I totally respect. And it is his decision. And I think it's the right decision for him at this moment. That won't say he won't come back into the game. But if he does come back into it, I'm sure he will regain the love for it. And that's why it's probably the right decision for him at this right time.
Just want to ask you about two more of your new signings, Kyle, if you don't mind. One of your standouts last year certainly wore the jersey quite lightly. That's the opposite of what we were discussing earlier, is goalkeeper Daniel Margush. You brought in Thomas Mejias, I think that's how you pronounce it, from overseas to compete for the jersey. And you've also signed Keijiro Ogawa from Japan. So two part question. Who's going to start as your number one? And in terms of Ogawa, do A-League clubs look enough at Asian talent, do you think?
Well, I'll answer the second one first, if you're okay with that.
Yeah.
No, I don't think they do. You know, it's a market which I've followed very closely. I knew from my Major League Soccer days over there. I was always trying to snap up a bargain here or there. You know, you don't realise how tactically astute these players are playing in the J-League. It's a very, very tactical league. You know, some people will say it's not as physical as maybe the A-League, certainly not as physical as Major League Soccer. But I tell you what, there's some smart players, very smart, understand the game, both with the ball, without the ball. Probably not smaller in size, in stature, but I tell you what, brain-wise, they think head and shoulders above other players and other teams. So I know the market very, very well. And when we got the opportunity to bring in Ogawa, then I didn't think twice about it. He's at a great age, and I think he offers us something different. Going back to the number one question, and it's funny because it's, you know, there's a lot of experts out there, and they're great. You know, football's about opinions, you know, rightly and wrongly, and about assessments and judgments and things. You know, I think us at Western Sydney Wanderers, I am trying to build a squad that we're able to compete with Sydney, and we're able to compete with the top teams in the league. And when I look at Sydney, I say, you know, people always talk about who plays for Sydney. They don't talk about the subs. We're at Western Sydney, people talk about who doesn't play rather than who does play. So me going into this recruitment window, I was like, right, how can I build a squad that is able to compete with the best teams in the league, but also that understands we have 14 or 15 players, which are senior players or leaders that I can go to. And then we have maybe 8 or 10 young ones. You know, we've got some talented youngsters in the group. The goalkeeping area was a situation like that. Last year, we didn't have a number one because Daniel Lopar was on about going back home. So I made the commitment to Daniel Margush. It was a big risk. You know, first season in the job, it was a big risk. Unproven, been at two different A-League clubs, but never been a regular, played less than 5 games. He played 26 games and he'd done incredibly well. My other experienced keeper who has been out for 2 years is obviously still not able to recover. So going into this
That's
year,
Vedran.
The question, do you, Vedran, do you take another risk of another young keeper backing up a young keeper, or do you bring in an experienced keeper? But then if you bring in an experienced keeper, what's the narrative for the young keeper? You know, I look at how Tom Glover's progressed. I look at all these young keepers that have gone through and had to move somewhere to play, and then how have they progressed? But what are they, how, you know, it's not just about the centre forwards. You bring in three centre forwards for two places, or the right backs, you bring in two right backs for one place. It's the goalkeeper as well. So I had to make an assessment. I'd done that with my coach, goalkeeping coach Davide, and you know, we thought the best route for us for the best available progression, not just of Daniel, but also the club, because we've also got two, I think, fantastic young 15, 16-year-old keepers, which in 12 months, 18 months, you will be talking to me about why are they not playing. You know, we have to make sure that these pathways are open as well. So me bringing in Thomas was needed because we only had one goalkeeper. Who gets the number one? Listen, the two of them fight it out and the best keeper will win.
Absolutely.
And if you play well, you stay in the team. It's as simple as that. It's no other difference to any other position in the team.
Brilliant. The answer, Carl. And unfortunately, we are out of time because we've got to head to a break. Thanks so much for your time this evening. We wish you all the very best for the new season. You start off at Broadmeadow Magic in the FFA Cup, 10th of November, and return to Newcastle. I'm sure you're looking forward to that, Carl. But thank you for spending some time with us tonight. We really appreciate it. And good luck for the new campaign.
Thanks, Carl.
Thanks, guys. Thanks.
That is Carl Robinson. You want to get in touch with us, 0457 736 736. There you go, Paul. West of the latte line. We do talk about the Wanderers. We just give it in 10 minutes. 0457 736 736 if you want to chat to us. After a quick break on the other side of it, we will talk English Premier League with Spencer Pryor.